Radio. Afternoon. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. And this show is called A Progressive Life. And I'm going to welcome our usual Dr. Feynman.
Here I am.
Well, now, I understand we're not going to have you next week.
Well, then, no, not next week, November 10th.
Oh, November
3 10th. Weeks from now.
Okay, all right.
November 10th, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale at Florida Atlantic University Lifelong Learning at 1 o'clock, so obviously I can't be two places at once, and I'm going to be speaking about Abraham Lincoln and the five former presidents who were still alive at the time of the Civil War and their interaction with each other regard to the Civil War.
Isn't that the same number of former presidents we have now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's happened five times now. We've had five former presidents, yes.
That's kind of cool. It gives the current president lots of people to bounce stuff off of, right?
Well, except for the last one who was not in contact with him.
Well, I was thinking that, but I didn't say anything.
Look what he said about Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is, well, I'm not going to use the word because I know Scott doesn't like it, but you know the word that starts with D and ends in E. And I'm sorry, the first lady, there's no first lady like Melania Trump. She's the absolute worst, without a doubt. Mrs. Lincoln was a character, yes. A few of the others were, you know, had issues, but nothing like Melania Trump, who added nothing to the first ladyship.
So you were listening to the show before we got
Yes, and I was saying, how can anybody defend Melania Trump?
Well,
there was nothing to defend with what that jacket she wore and things she said and what she did to the White House Rose Garden. Come on.
Yeah.
And the woman's background. I know background shouldn't matter, but what other first lady was involved with pictures, naked pictures with other women?
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything that you can say in defense of Melania Trump. Of course, I admit she didn't want to be first lady. That I agree. She was pushed into it because of her husband. So I do realize that, and she felt uncomfortable. And I do give her credit as being a good mother and caring about her son, Barron. I do that. But as far as the position of first lady, she added nothing to it.
Let's hope that Barron is in good hands. My wife and I worry about that every time we see Barron. Now, we haven't seen him in a long time, and that's kind of scary, too.
Well, you know, he's very tall. I heard that he's 6'7".
Wow.
He really shot up bigger than anybody in the family. I know he's taller than his mother and father, but I read he was 6'7". And I'm thinking, I hope that's all, because if he does much more than that, he almost looks like a freak if you're taller than that. That's very tall, you know?
I used to have a basketball player. Oh, shoot. His name just slipped out of my head.
He was very tall, obviously, basketball players are.
7'2.5" is how tall
he was. Oh, my gosh. African-American or white?
No, he's a white young
man. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
he could have been up there with Wilt and Phil Chamberlain.
He was taller than Wilt, I think. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's unhealthy. I guess you can't help it, but somebody that tall usually doesn't live a long life. It's very unhealthy to be that tall, you know. But, of course, you are what you are. You can't help that, you know.
Some of them suffer from that Marfan's disease.
Suffer from what?
Marfan's disease, which is indicated by people with long, very long digits and also very tall. And it affects their heart in some way.
Well, actually, Abraham Lincoln had Marfan. He was like 6'4". He also had Marfan syndrome, we've come to a conclusion. And the thought is he might not have lived out that second term if he had not been assassinated. Because he was not in good health at age 56. He really wasn't.
Well, now, we had, and I remember the young man's name. I'm not going to mention it on the air, but...
what?
We had a young man when I was broadcasting high school basketball in Crown Point, Indiana. We had a young man who was probably 6'6", somewhere around there.
In high school? Wow.
In high school, die of Marfan's disease. He died on the court. And,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing. You're awfully low sounding right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You speak a little louder. So what do you say about this young man?
He died of Marfan's disease while he was on the court.
He was like 16 years old?
Yeah, And
but he had a heart attack?
Basically, and they took him over to the sidelines, and we could tell from the broadcast booth that the doctor was beside himself. The young man, they couldn't bring him back, so it was...
Was he ever seemingly sick or unhealthy when you were dealing with him?
Never, ever.
He was in good shape, huh?
Yeah, we thought, we didn't know, and they didn't know until much later that he had that disease.
Oh, my gosh. I hope Aaron doesn't have that. I didn't even thought about that, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, but my gosh, 6'7" at age 15? I mean, that's stunning, funny. You know, and it's. I think it's worrisome, actually, you know, but it's what it is, you know.
Well, eldest grandson is 6'5", and he's been 6'5".
How old is he?
He's 17. He was...
pretty tall, too. Well, again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's an issue, but once you get a certain height, it is a little more, I think, dangerous. But, of course, your body is your body, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is kind of an issue because if he wasn't 6'5" and left-handed, he wouldn't be pitching 2 years from now for the Tar Heels down in North Carolina.
Mm.
But he is. So,
well, yeah.
Anyway.
See, other people think it's difficult to be short, but yeah. Actually it's more difficult to be tall.
Well, my youngest son used to hate, well, not hate, but he used to get mad that his eldest brother, my eldest son, is 6'3". And Andrew is only 5'11". And he used to hate that KJ, my eldest...
Well, because it becomes a rivalry, yeah.
Yeah, because of the rivalry. But also, I think it might have helped Andrew be a better basketball player, because by the time Andrew was in high school, or a senior in high school, he was 5'11", but could dunk behind his head. So
well.
He wanted to prove that he was really... Height wasn't going to bother him, but anyway, that's another story.
Well, Lincoln, I think they thought, of course you can't be sure, he had a whole term, but he only had served a few weeks of the second term, but the theory is he might have died before the end of the term if he hadn't been assassinated.
Never heard.
Who knows? So we probably would have been stuck with Andrew Johnson anyway for a shorter period, though.
I had never heard that. I had never heard that he...
Yeah, but I've read that, and it's pretty much confirmed. But I don't think they fully understood it at the time. And again, he was 6'4".
Yeah.
And the other information you gave him, that you gave about the condition, is him. But he wasn't that tall. He was 6'4". He is the tallest president, though, so...
Is that right? Lincoln was the tallest president.
Yes.
And he wore a top hat to make it look bigger.
Yes, and of course, when he was wearing his top hat on the way to, you know, in Washington, D.C., to the old soldiers' home, where he was like a place away from the White House, someone shot at him, and the bullet went through his hat. And that was in August, I think, 1864, and he still kept on going, you know, anyway, but, you know, going down there, but it was like a warning. Some people think it was John Wilkes Booth that probably shot at him, but not certain, of course. But he wasn't harmed at that time, but it was almost foreordained, I think, he was going to possibly face assassination because of the war.
Well, now I heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was watching a show the other day that said that Booth's father was also noted for being a...
I guess we didn't discuss on here, I thought we had, maybe not somewhere else, that his father threatened Andrew Jackson in a letter in 1835. That's nothing closer than a letter, and then apologized for it. But yes, it has been validated that Booth's father did threaten Andrew Jackson.
And this story that I was watching the other day said that he was... How did they put it? They said that he really was best friends with the guy, with Jackson, and yet he threatened him.
I've not heard that he even met him at any time. I don't know. But also, John Wilkes Booth's brother saved Lincoln's son, who was getting on a train and almost fell off, and he didn't know who it was at the time, but he grabbed him and saved him during the Civil War. That's really ironic. And Booth's brother was for the Union side, while John Wilkes Booth was for the Confederate side.
Interesting.
There was a lot of connections in that Booth family with the Lincolns.
How many folks were hanged or dispatched because of Lincoln's assassination that might have been innocent.
I think it was four of them were hanged, I think, yeah. Yes, including the first woman ever hanged, yes.
And people thought that really she was innocent, right? Didn't they?
Well, she ran the boarding house.
Yeah, she ran the boarding house.
Where the conspirators met, yeah. And supposedly she was sympathetic to them. But, you know, I think with any of these situations, there's always a lot of hysteria and panic in the way people react. So, and I think that's the same with the Kennedy assassination, because, I mean, Jack Ruby being able to get that close because he knew the police and be able to shoot Oswald, it's something you can only make up in fiction, but it's really, it really happened.
Well, have you ever really put to bed in your head whether we know the honest background to that whole assassination?
Well, you know, I wasn't there, but I still think Oswald did it alone. I think he really did.
Yeah.
As far as Ruby, there might have been some conspiracy to shut Oswald up because of maybe others that might have been supporting him or conspiring with him. But I think it was just Oswald, really. And, you know, but again, there's no way to 100% prove anything. But in my assassinations book, I talk about all the different conspiracy theories, but I dismiss them all. But there's no way to be certain.
Yeah, that's one of the things Scott and I were talking about today. Is
I didn't hear that about assassinations.
No, I just pointed out to Scott that neither one of us have been inside the mind of our county auditor or city auditor, so we don't really know what happened.
Oh, you mean with the scandal that's going on?
Yeah. So you never do really. I always try to put that caveat in my head when I'm criticizing somebody. Hey, I wasn't there. I don't know whether that's true or not. So I don't know.
Yeah, what is that? I don't know. Is that a financial scandal or a sex scandal?
Well, the fact is that, I'm not sure what the fact is, but we have been told we have not kept our books correct.
Well, financial scandal.
Yeah.
It's not a sex scandal, no.
And I don't think anybody's accused the former auditor of stealing any money. I think they just thought he was incompetent and not keeping the books correctly, which did cause us the problem with now we can't file for certain grants because we don't have. And one of the grants is like $2.5 million, which pays for police and the senior citizens' home and firemen and stuff like that. And so.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's less sensational than a sex scandal.
No, I don't think he has any problem. He's a. I'm certain that he is a very devout Christian, and I don't think there's any sex scandal to be had.
Okay, the one thing I'll say is people can say they're devout this, devout that. It doesn't have anything to do with what they do in their private life. It's a lot of hypocrisy, as you know.
My father wrote his, I think it was his master's thesis, on sex in the parking lots of revivals. That was his thesis. I've never read it. I'm not sure I want to read my father talking about sex, but...
You probably should, though, what you say.
Yeah. But he was very skeptical of people that were so overtly showing how Christian they were.
Yeah, and I want to point out, just 2 days ago, I wrote on my blog, and it also goes on to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, the evil hypocrisy of so-called devout evangelical people who accept Donald Trump as speaking for God.
Yeah, no, I need to read that one. I haven't. But
and get this, LinkedIn blocked it.
Who did?
LinkedIn blocked it and said it was unacceptable, and I defended it. They still blocked it, so you can't see it on LinkedIn anymore.
Oh, okay.
See it on the blog. But I even said that Facebook and Twitter, you know, I don't see if it was wrong about it, but there's too much censorship. I really think it's reason. I didn't use foul language or anything. I just gave my view. But when you talk about religion and evangelicals and hypocrisy, I think it makes some people who work for these different, you know, social media, see it as a threat somehow. I don't know why.
They're getting very sensitive, I'm sure, because of all their criticism.
Yeah, like I wrote in the last paragraph, for any, quote, religious, end quote, person to see Donald Trump as speaking for God demonstrates how evil, hypocritical such individuals are, and the concept that America should become a theocracy defies the teachings of the founding fathers who promoted separation of church and state.
Yeah.
I don't see anything why they should have blocked it, but they did, and I appealed it, and they still blocked it, so what can I do? But it's still on, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and on my blog, so...
Well, yeah, and you can see it live right here.
Yes, and I only gave one paragraph, but... Yeah. But I'm saying that Trump, I said, is far from being a devout Christian. He only worships his own ego. So, you know, to me, anybody, all these evangelical right-wingers who support him, even now, there's something really corrupt and evil about that, you know?
Yeah, you're talking to the choir now.
Yes. But they didn't like it, and they, even after I appealed it, very quickly they rejected my appeal.
Huh. That's
so what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you keep on keeping on, right?
Yeah, but Facebook, I've been blocked a couple of times for a while, but not lately, and Twitter's never been a problem.
Now, let me jump back to Colin Powell. Do you think...
Oh, yes. Not jump back. We didn't talk about him yet.
Yeah, well, that's true. We just mentioned him. Do you think... do you think he knew when he spoke before the UN that he was telling fibbies? Or do you think he had been given that information? And
I don't think he was lying. I think Dick Cheney convinced him that you're the right person to speak, maybe appealing to his ego.
He was the right person to speak.
He was the right person, but I think, in a way, it's funny, I think Powell was naive to believe Cheney and Bush, but he wanted to believe because he was a good soldier, you know, so, but I, even though that happened, I still do not blame him in the sense I don't condemn him for that. And I think he could have been the first black president. You know, in 1995, they were pushing him, the Republicans, to run. If he had run and had he won over Bob Dole, who was the nominee, and others, I think he might have beaten Bill Clinton. And it would have been him, not Obama, who would have been the first African-American president. But, of course, he didn't have that great desire to face that job. And also, I know it at the time, he and his wife were getting death threats.
Yes.
Because of racism. So he just decided, I don't want this, you know, so he didn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he's a very honorable man, and of course he was 84, but still, you know, you and I are not that far away from that age, and within a decade, and I'm saying, oh my God, how can this be possible? You don't want to believe it, that people are dying that are near our age, you know. But I think he's one of the great men of modern times.
I think the thing I liked about him, you know, and I've been a Democrat ever since Nixon, so I was a Democrat.
You became a Democrat after Nixon, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And by the way, can you speak up? Your microphone's not very loud. I'm having trouble hearing.
I got my lips right on the microphone.
Yeah, but it's very low for some reason. I don't know why. I have speakerphone. I'm just saying, that's why I'm having a little trouble understanding some of what you're saying.
Is it better now?
A little bit better, yeah, but usually it's louder. I don't know what it is, but all right. I can hear you anyway. Yeah.
Okay. As long as you can hear me, and I don't really say anything that's terribly important.
Oh, stop.
But when I remember thinking, when there was talk of him running, I remember thinking to myself, now, he's not a bad guy to vote for, you know?
No. I wouldn't. Actually, I was not a big Bill Clinton fan. I might have voted for him. Actually, believe it or not, I considered voting for Bob Dole, even though he was far from perfect, but I thought he was very qualified. And the reason I didn't is when he started to attack teachers' unions.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, professor, I said, oh, forget it. But I was thinking of it. So he lost my vote because of that. If he hadn't, I might have voted because I was, and this is before we knew about what happened in the second term with the sex scandal, but I really knew when he ran, you know, about Jennifer Flowers, I was not thrilled by him, and I really did not, it was all right. He had some good points, but he's not one of my favorite presidents.
Well, I thought Dole was an honorable man. It seemed to me much more honorable.
And he's still around. He's 98.
Yeah. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
He has cancer, so like Jimmy Carter, but he's still here, 98.
Well, let's hope for another 10 years for him or more.
Yes, and Jimmy Carter is 97 plus now. It's wonderful, you know.
A lot of people have always said to me that I was crazy to have voted for him, but I liked Jimmy Carter, and I still like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I voted for him Because I felt I should, but I was not thrilled in 76, because as a New York Jew, I could not get used to a Southerner, first one since Zachary Taylor in 1848 by election, and I was thinking, who is this guy? And in 80, I wasn't thrilled by him. He wasn't liberal enough in my mind,
but
I wasn't going to vote for Reagan, and I thought of voting for Anderson, John Anderson. I did flirt with John Anderson as my dissertation advisor, and, you know, Arthur Schlesinger Jr., and also Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis actually did vote for Anderson, we learned years later. I flirted with Anderson, but then I said, he can't win, so I don't want to help Reagan, so I voted for Carter. But I wasn't thrilled, but I've come to really fall in love with the guy over the years. I think he's great.
That's one of the things my wife always tells me. I voted for, what was the guy, little guy, he was a economist, he got 20% of the vote or something. I can't remember.
What's that?
I'm trying to remember the presidential candidate that I voted for that had a real nasal voice. He was an economist.
Nasal voice. Economist?
Anyway, my wife, I voted for him because I didn't want to vote for Nixon or something.
Who is he running against? I don't know who you're talking about. I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm at a loss right now in my brain.
What year?
It was probably early 90s.
Early 90s?
Anyway, that's not going to... My point is, my wife said, you only voted for him, and the only thing that did is give a vote to, and I can't remember who the opponent...
Well, are you talking about Perot?
Yes, yeah.
You voted for Perot?
Yeah.
In 92 or 96?
No, the first one. I think.
Oh, so you did not vote for Clinton or for Bush the second time.
Right.
You voted for, I guess, Dukakis against Bush?
Probably.
Yeah, and by the way, Michael Dukakis, I got to meet, he taught in the 90s at Florida Atlantic University. I got to meet him, and he was very nice, and he said, call me Mike, I said, call me Ron, and he came to one of my classes to explain what it was like to run for president like 6 years earlier. Huh. It was really nice, you know?
Neat, yeah.
Well, he's still around. He's like 87, 88 now.
My wife keeps reminding me, you voted for Perot, and all you did is give a vote to whoever. Reagan, was it, at that time?
Well, Perot was against Clinton and Bush.
Bush, okay.
So you actually harmed Bush, I guess you could say. But you didn't want Bush anyway, right?
No, I didn't. So,
yeah. But Clinton won anyway, you know, because...
My wife is always...
Bush had the second worst percentage loss for re-election ever. Only William Howard Taft in 1912 did worse. So Bush really was smacked because of Perot, because he had 19% of the vote.
Huh. Where was I going with all of this? Anyway, now let's get back a little bit on Colin Powell. Did you tell me whether you believe that? Oh, yeah, you did tell me that you thought he might have been duped in that. But he was he a... I would call him a centrist Republican, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's a moderate centrist Republican.
Right.
And he told us years ago that the Republican Party has to diversify, not just be a white party.
Yeah.
And after 2012, there was discussion about, because Romney couldn't defeat Obama. And they said, we got to change it, but they have not changed. And the only thing is they've gained some Hispanic Latino support that they have, like Cubans particularly, and some Mexican Americans. But they have not appealed to Asians or to African Americans or Native Americans, and two-thirds of Jews still vote Democratic. The Republican Party is in its death throes if it doesn't start to change soon. And backing Trump is not the answer. And I think there is a way to stop Trump, and I think part of it is the Virginia gubernatorial race. If he can win a big victory, the Democratic nominee, McAuliffe, I think that it can really be a smack, you know, in the sense that the guy running against him, Youngkin, is really, a true supporter of Trump. So it's very important that this happen. And also, I read that Liz Cheney is raising money like mad for her congressional race.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good chance, and it's not going to be a Democratic seat, that we know.
No.
But it looks like she'll beat her, Trumpite opponents. And Lisa Murkowski, the same in Alaska. She often is run as an independent, but she's also doing well. I think Trump's going to have a lot of these people that back him losing out.
I think people are starting to vote for bravery, which would be surprising.
Yeah, I'd like to see in Ohio. that we see the two Republicans that are both Trumpites lose.
We have no honor.
They're absolutely horrible. You know, I guess it's even hard to say who's worse, but they're both bad, you know.
Well, now, what about Trump's attempt to claim executive privilege so that...
he has no executive privilege after he's out of office.
Yeah.
That's going nowhere.
Yeah, but now, if a president who is just out of office, if a president thinks there are things that he talked to people that were could be...
They were controversial, you mean?
Not controversial, had to be kept secret from, let's say, Russia.
Well, that'll be up to the courts to decide. Some things may be kept back, but we've never had a president who's been so abusive of power like Trump. Nixon is like a choir boy next to him.
Yeah.
No, there's no way. With the courts now, with a lot of appointments by Trump and a lot of conservatives, you never know. Anything could happen. The courts have been corrupted, I think, somewhat. Unfortunately, it's very sad.
One of the things that I see Trump being very good at, he knew what words not to say to get himself in trouble. He avoided saying, go down there and riot. He told them, follow me down to the Capitol, basically, and then he didn't go. But he did not say, go down to the Capitol and beat the brains in of the...
Well, he's not going to say the actual words.
No, but he
incited the crowd by being there. So did Giuliani, and so did the other speakers there. And there's no way they can say that he had no influence over what happened. He did. But he also knew it was going on, and he refused to do anything to stop it for a number of hours.
Yeah, I understand that.
He's guilty, and he should be in prison for it.
Now, did you watch the meeting of the...
The vote last night?
Yeah. That I was so proud of Liz Cheney.
Yes.
Even though I absolutely disagree with her a lot, but...
Adam Kinzinger also. Yeah, I wouldn't vote for either of them, but I hope one or both run for president. I hope one of them ends up as the nominee or someone like them, the small group of people that also voted to impeach him or to convict him, like Ben Sasse of Nebraska or even Mitt Romney, although I wouldn't vote for him again. People like that. I like to see somebody that is against Trump be the Republican nominee, and if they happen to win, okay, I'm not going to be happy, but at least we know we have a person of principle.
Yeah, and that's one of the things when I said I think courage, bravery is starting to get votes. I really believe that the Republicans that I know, that walk on the street Republicans that are right here in Marion, I'm sure they believe exactly what they're saying. I think they're getting tired of hearing the malarkey that they're getting, and I'm using that term.
I missed the last thing you said. It was too low. What was the last point?
I think the people here in Marion, I believe they're getting tired of listening to all the BS that they're getting from the high end of the Republican Party. I think the Republicans here in town are.
So you think they're turning against Trump?
No, I think they'll just vote for bravery as opposed to voting for BS.
Yeah, one thing has crossed my mind since you're in Marion, Ohio, WWGH, of course, joking. What would Warren G. Harding suggest?
Well, that's a good question.
No way to answer it, but I would like, because he had a lot of corruption in his administration, but it wasn't caused by him, but, you know, it happened under him. But I'd like to believe that he was a decent man in many ways, although a failed presidency, and that he would not be supporting a person like Donald Trump. But, you know, it's all theory. Would Ronald Reagan have supported? I don't think so, but you never really know because it's a different time frame. It's just more a fictional thing to imagine that they came back and they commented on events.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to mess with my board here so that you can hear me better. Can you?
It's still pretty low though. I don't know why, because usually it's much louder. So I'm sorry that I'm having trouble hearing.
No,
I have my speakerphone on, but it's very low somehow.
I'm looking at all my little buttons, and I have lots of buttons sitting here in front of me, and I'm trying to adjust them as we're going. So if you hear anything get better,
well, I appreciate that.
All right. Let's see. Okay, what's going to happen to Steve Bannon?
He should go to prison, actually, for a year, but who knows? It's such a hard thing to figure it all out. I don't know, but the man is really a terrible person, and he really is a tyrant, and I think he's a fascist, a very dangerous man, really.
Why would, and there seems to be questions as to whether Merrick Garland will vote to bring...
Yeah, Merrick Garland seems to be very cautious, at least it seems that way.
Okay.
And I don't know what to make of it, you know, and to think that this is a man who they want, Obama won on the Supreme Court, and Mitch McConnell, you know, prevented it, but the man would have been a moderate, he would not have been a liberal, overly liberal
right.
guy, you know, so, but I don't know how to figure him out, I don't know, I just hope that he would not disappoint, and meanwhile, we could also talk about the infrastructure. It looks like there's some kind of an agreement, not going to be what was originally thought,
yeah.
but it looks as if the two sides, the progressives and the moderates are getting together, and that's good.
Well, let's hope it comes sooner than later, right?
It needs to happen soon, yeah, because now it's 9 months today Joe Biden has been president, and his ratings are going down because really the Democrats have been stuck in this mess for a few months because of their split in their own party, and they could be self-destructive. They need to do something, and they may not get $3.5 trillion, maybe only half of that, but they still can do a lot of good.
Yeah, I think they need to... clean something up and get something on the boards so that people say, hey, yeah, they are really trying to get something done. Now, do you honestly believe that the two outliers in the Democratic Party do you believe they want something done, or do you think one or the other, either Manchin or whatever?
Sanders, yeah.
Do you think one or the other doesn't really want to get anything done?
Well, you know, there was that photograph of you know, showing them with their arms around each other, you know, in public on Capitol Hill. I think they want, but they are very, very different, and I wish there was not just a 50-50 tie, you know, a split yeah. Senate for the fourth time ever, because if it was a few more Democrats, you know, it would be a much better bill, and we would not have to worry about Manchin or Sinema, but we're stuck with what we have, so we have to go for what we can do,
right.
Hope that the Democrats somehow can keep control, and then hopefully add to it, and maybe be able to do more in 2023. I mean, you have to settle for what you can get, but it's upsetting.
Do you think Trump will run in 2024?
I don't think so, honestly. Even he seems to indicate he wonders about his health. He's mentally going downhill very fast. He already has.
But
and I don't know about his physical health. After Bill Clinton ended up in the hospital, which really surprised me,
that was scary.
And I'm glad he's much better, but he has to recover still for a few weeks, it makes you realize. And I must say that the thought crossed my mind, oh my gosh, if they had to have a president who was in the hospital, I'm sorry to say, it should have been Trump, not Clinton, but that's just the way it is. But I'm just thinking, imagine Clinton's still pretty young. He's, you know, and to me, the thought that he would be possibly in real danger was very startling. And I wrote about that the other day, and it was picked up by History News Network, because this was done on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, it was picked up and recast, I guess, so it was shown on the History News Network. So the point is that we had a situation in which I said it makes you think about the fragility of life.
How old is Clinton now?
He just turned 75.
Yeah, I thought he was my age. And
August.
Thank
yeah.
you for saying that's young.
Yeah, and he doesn't look that good in my opinion compared to what he used to, but.
Yep.
You know, some people don't look as good as they age as others. You know, to me, of course, he's thinner, and that's good because he always had too much fast food. But I just wonder about his health. But I hope he'll be around for a long time. But you know, Jimmy Carter is embarrassing everybody by outliving everybody. You know,
power to him.
It's amazing, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So one of my friends said it's the South Georgia sun.
It could be, yeah.
And he lives in Plains, in the same house he's lived in for 50 years. Isn't that, it's just so funny, you know?
Yeah, and I've lived in 21 different houses.
21 in 50 years?
Well, in my 75 years, yeah.
Oh, counting from birth, you mean?
Yeah, from birth.
Okay, 21. I have lived in, let me just see, 1, 2, I think about 8 or 9 I've lived in.
Most people haven't lived in 21, but I've
only... My gosh, wow.
Yeah. I've also went to 6 different colleges to get my degree.
Six?
Yeah, I was never satisfied.
You actually got credits in all 6, or some you didn't get any credits?
I think I got at least one credit.
One course at least at each of the 6 places?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
It's the only way I could graduate. I finally went back.
You got credit in every school, I'm saying.
Yeah, to some. Yeah, either one credit or more, yeah.
Well, probably three credits, like one course. Yeah,
yeah. One course.
Yeah, oh my God. Is that a record I won? I've been in six places. Sarah Palin was, I think, in four.
My children laugh at the fact that it took me 9 years to graduate from college.
You didn't go full time. That's why, right?
3 years, I was in the Army.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I did go to college while I was in the Army.
That's really good. That's promoted, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get rid of Steve Bannon.
Well, I would like to see him in prison, yes, but everything you think could happen... You don't know, but I think even if Donald Trump announces he's running, others will challenge him. It's not, and if it isn't the Trumpites that are going to, like the Florida governor or the Texas governor, I think that Cheney will challenge him. I think possibly Ben Sasse will challenge him, possibly even Adam Kinzinger and others. So we need to have a race between people who are against Trump along with those who supposedly support Trump.
But apparently by the polls that they're taking right now, Trump is way out ahead of in the
Republican. Yeah, but polls this far out don't mean much. Yeah, I think he had 47%, Mike Pence had 12, and so did Ron DeSantis. And I still cannot figure out Mike Pence. I just can't. How he could not be clear on the fact that he was in danger and condemned Trump for it. And if he's that ambitious to be president that he's willing to sell his soul as a, quote, good Christian, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Well, now, I talked with Scott today in the show and told him about the interview that I watched that said that Pence had gone to what's the vice president? Quayle.
Of course. That was a little stunning because Dan Quayle is not exactly an intellectual.
Yeah, but you know, intellectual to intellectual is what that was, right? But Scott hadn't heard that. Scott thought I was.
Oh yes, Dan Quayle said you have to just do your job, which is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I give credit to Dan Quayle, but to think of all people he had to tell Mike Pence that, I don't think that helps Mike Pence's image, honestly, that he had to have doubts and that Dan Quayle had to speak to him to say, do your job.
I'm never going to say that Dan Quayle saved the democracy. It's just not going to come out of my mouth.
Well, but I think you got to give him a little credit, you know. Maybe finally he got his act together, even though he couldn't spell the word potato.
Yeah, that was a little overblown. I can't spell the word potato or
But you're not vice president. There's a difference.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I think I would have made a damn good vice president.
Well, I think it would have been better than Dan Quayle, that I'll say. And actually, than Mike Pence. I don't think Mike Pence is going to rate very well in history as a vice president. He's a sycophant. He just goes along with everything. He has nothing to say, no challenge in any way. He looks at it as if he's almost worshiping Trump, and you see photographs of them, and that should not be. You should be, of course, cordial, and you know, but you should still be challenging the president. That's, you know, the vice president should be the person who can tell the truth of how he feels and not worry about how the president reacts. And that's what Carter Mondale had, and it's what Obama Biden had, and that's the way it should be.
Well, you've done a ton of research on presidents and stuff.
And vice presidents and first ladies. And election on first ladies, too.
Yes. Well, and that's where I'm going now. Who do you think was the best vice president ever?
Oh, that's easy. Walter Mondale.
Really?
Absolutely, yes. Why? Because he was like close to co-president. Carter worked with him very closely, and he's considered the best vice president as far as effectiveness and interaction, not being on the sidelines. Walter Mondale is definitely the best.
Oh, that's cool to know. I had never heard that before. Now, would you say that Biden was a pretty good vice president?
I would actually say Joe Biden is the second best vice president we've ever had, yes.
Yeah, I always liked him as a... It's hard not to like a guy who is as likable as he is.
Yes, and I would say Al Gore probably would be the third best vice president.
Really? That's cool.
Under Bill Clinton. Not quite as good because they had a break over the issue of Monica Lewinsky toward the end. Gore did not have Clinton campaign for him in 2000, which was probably a mistake. And they shouted at each other after his loss. Yeah. But they made up, and I see Al Gore was in touch with him when he was in the hospital. That was really nice.
Good.
People have fights, but I think Al Gore played a major role on the environment, and promoting technology under Clinton. And Clinton was not good on the environment as governor of Arkansas, but Gore really pushed him on that issue. So I think he's the third best. And honestly, as far as vice presidents who are Republican, I think H.W. Bush was probably the best of modern times. Cheney was, in a certain way, but he's such an evil man, Darth Vader, as I call him. But he was also effective. But all the others are incompetents. Spiro Agnew, Dan Quayle, Mike Pence. Really terrible. They really are.
Most of them were selected to get the vote from their constituents. What were they?
Well, like Dan Quayle was picked because he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin was picked because she was a good-looking woman. That was a big blunder on the part of
that
McCabe.
That was a huge blunder on McCabe's.
And I think also Paul Ryan was not a good choice, you know, to go with Romney, not at all. But even he looks better compared to Kevin McCarthy.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, he was the Speaker of the House. He was worse than John Boehner. But honestly, Kevin McCarthy is much more scary to think he could be Speaker of the House, you know,
scary.
In 2023. I just hope that doesn't happen.
Well, you don't have to have somebody that's in Congress to be the Speaker of the House.
No, we could even beat Trump, but I cannot imagine that happening.
Boy.
Anyway, we're running out of time, but I've had a great time, so I'll be on for the next few weeks. But November 10th, I'll remind you, on November 3rd, I will not be on November 10th.
All right.
Just that one time, because I'm giving a lecture to an audience, so it's just the way it worked out. But I've enjoyed every week in the past year or more, and I want to continue doing this.
Cool. We're sorry that we can't really record it. We tried to think of how we could do it, and it was just too difficult with one phone line that comes in here. So anyway, let's get out of here and
okay, thank you so much. I'll see you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Feinman, one of our favorites here at WWGH, and I'm going to be getting out of here. So you have a great day, and treat your friends like friends, and treat your enemies like friends. Bye-bye.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.